Jim Burkett is an American filmmaker, screenwriter, and elite storyboard artist. He is known for bridging blockbuster spectacle and cerebral independent cinema. Trained at CalArts, Jim built his industry reputation designing complex action and visual sequences for director Gore Verbinski before emerging as a cult auteur with his micro-budget sci-fi film Coherence. That revealed Jim's philosophical storytelling voice. Jim Burkett joins the wide-ranging talent at the Sedona Film Festival, where he plans to lead two workshops. The first is Screening and Storytelling, meant to be a lively 90-minute deep dive on current screenwriting trends and their connection to classic storytelling. The second workshop is titled Storyboard for Film and Everything Else. The premise of that is the magic and power of pre-visualizing that can be harnessed for everything from big budget filmmaking to starting a business to reimagining your life. We'll see. So Sedona is also hosting a screening of Coherence. This is Susan Vibrock, Telluride Inside and Out for the Sedona Film Festival. Today, I'm honored to be speaking with Hollywood legend Jim Burkett about his life and work in the run-up to Sedona. Yes, okay, Jim.
Legend. I love that part. Thank you, Susan.
You're a legend. You're probably too young to be a legend, but I've just designated you legend.
I love it. It's hilarious.
So you've helped design some of the largest action spectacles in modern cinema. What did storyboarding blockbuster chaos teach you about storytelling at its most fundamental level?
That's a great question. You know, storyboarding is an art into itself because you have to sort of merge your brain with the director and you work as a team to visualize these things that can't really be communicated any other way. And especially on giant blockbusters where so many people are involved and they're so complicated, the sets you have to build and the effects you have to do and the stunts. So for me, I loved it because I got to see the basics of storytelling, you know, all the way down to what does the individual shot tell you as a story? Each shot should tell a story, whether it's, you know, the hero starting on top of a cliff and ending halfway off the cliff. That's a story in itself. Mm-hmm. And then when you put those together and have a sequence with different angles, different composition, different camera movement, it really pushes the limit of what we can absorb in this visual medium that we're always so fascinated with. And movies do it, you know, better than any other medium right now, this kind of visual storytelling that really packs every single frame with information. It's not just two people talking. You probably don't have to storyboard that if there's just two people having a very intimate conversation. Mm-hmm. But once you get into the, you know, Jack Sparrow is on a water wheel that's become dislodged and now it's rolling down a jungle in the Caribbean and it's going off a cliff, but there's also someone inside of it and there's also someone shooting at him. Like, there's so much visual information to process. Mm-hmm. You have to simplify it and you have to present it in a way that can be deciphered by the audience. And sometimes it's less than a second, you know, it's one shot, but it's only a second of time. But in that 1 second, you've got, you know, $500,000 worth of storytelling going on. So I just really learned how to sort of expand my mind and kind of try to grapple with all those questions.
Thank you. Before we explore your career further, how did you become who you are in Tinseltown? Please talk briefly about your professional journey from there to here.
Yeah, well, I'm from Flagstaff, Arizona. I spent a lot of time in Sedona and the Verde Valley, and my dad was born in Jerome. So I didn't have any connection to filmmaking. I just was always fascinated by it, and I loved it as a kid. I loved drawing. I loved photography, theater, music. And so I went to CalArts, California Institute of the Arts, and I just started making little short films and, you know, making sets and getting roping my friends together to make projects. And little by little, that became my filmmaking addiction. And luckily, this job of storyboard artist existed, and I could use all my years of drawing ever since I was, you know, 2 years old. I would be drawing stories and comic books and illustrated stories and things like that. And luckily, that was an actual job in Hollywood. So, you know, whether it's working on big budget commercials or music videos or movies, I discovered that I had something that they needed. And I quickly developed a reputation for being very fast. You know, you have to draw very fast if you're going to be a storyboard artist. You have to sort of meet with the director, download their brain, and within hours or within a day, kind of come back with 20, 30, 40 drawings that kind of symbolize what your mind meld has produced. And so that just led to, you know, working on bigger and bigger projects and then making my own films.
So let's move away from bigger and bigger to smaller and smaller. Coherence feels like the inverse of your studio work. It is intimate, improvised, psychological. So what compelled you to strip filmmaking down to its skeletal form? Did Coherence emerge from a desire just to dismantle reality after building such gigantic cinematic worlds?
Yes, in a way, that's exactly what it was. I had spent so much time working on these giant blockbusters where you have so much money, you can control every pixel. You know, you can use special effects to make anything happen. And I was missing the days where it was just me and some actors, you know, doing theater at NAU or doing little projects with my friends. I missed that immediacy of not having a crew and not having all that extra support. And so I fantasized about, like, what would it look like if I just got rid of the crew? You know, what if it was just me and a camera and some actors and tried to capture that feeling of being on stage, you know, and the immediacy and letting the actors just act rather than piece by piece and against green screen or, you know, all the other things that get in your way. So Coherence is really born of about that desire to simplify, and we shot it in 5 nights in my house with just a crew of me and maybe 3 other people, and it was everything I hoped. It actually as an experiment it was successful, which is kind of crazy because it should not have been.
Thank you, and having proven beyond a shadow of a doubt, you can work both billion dollar scale and micro budget minimalism. What kinds of stories feel most urgent for you to tell next?
Well, next, I would, as you probably suspect, love to combine the two. I would love to both have an intimate story where it was really focused on the actors and the characters and the emotional arc, but have enough money to have some production design and have a real cinematographer and have beautiful lighting and have music and just slowly reintroduce, you know, some of those elements, but really starting with a more coherence-like story that was all about people and emotions and these kind of questions of reality and these, you know, sort of the puzzles of existence.
So do you experience a tension between behind-the-scenes visual architecture and a front-facing auteur, or do those roles feed into each other? It sounds like they feed into each other, but could you clarify?
Yeah, they definitely feed into each other, because even if you're working on a big-budget project, you ultimately have to say, why is this going to connect with an audience? Why is this working or why is it not working? Doesn't matter how much money you have. It still has this underlying need to tell a story, which is why the workshop I'm doing is all about this connection between modern day screenwriting and the fundamentals of storytelling that go all, you know, back hundreds of thousands of years, probably, when we're still around the campfire just talking about the day's hunt or the interesting thing that happened. You always have to ask yourself, is this story worth telling? Is every detail needed? Mm-hmm. And is there some kind of catharsis at the end of my story? I'm sure you know people, and I think everybody knows people, they start telling a story, and it's interesting at first, but somehow they lose track halfway, and they don't know where they're going, mm-hmm. it just kind of peters out. There's no ending to it. It doesn't seem to have a point to it. But storytelling and Hollywood storytelling is much more disciplined, where everything has to add up and be a unit, the unity of thought, the unity of idea.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a beautiful place to be. That's a really interesting playground for creative people. And I love that. And so they definitely feed each other. Everything that I've learned on a big budget movie actually does apply to a tiny budget movie. And the reverse is true as well. So they really help each other, and it's a joy to kind of bounce back and forth.
Thank you for the clarification. So when audiences look back at your body of work, or when they attend your workshops in Sedona, looking at everything from pirate armadas to parallel selves, what connective thread do you hope they will uncover?
Well, that's up to them. I have a feeling they'll uncover just inexhaustible creativity behind it all, and a, you know, a seeking of the boundaries of imagination. When I look at something like Rango, I'm very proud of that, because it's weird. It's a very strange animated movie that really pushes a lot of boundaries and has a lot of personal details in it. And I think, as different as it seems on the page than Coherence, it's actually, if you know me, it's both of them are exactly out of my brain. They're exactly the way my brain works. And I think, you know, when we talk in the workshops, the theme is going to be how to make the most of whatever creative idea you have, because everybody has some kind of creativity, and everybody's got a story to tell. And so if you can allow yourself to push past the boundaries and push past the normal way to do things, you're going to find some really interesting ways to execute it or to share it. And I would hope that that's the journey that I'm on, is kind of this collaboration between creative minds and allowing these ideas to get to the world.
So give me at least one, you're allowed more than that, but at least one good reason that I should attend either one or both of your workshops.
Well, it's only if you have the interest. I'm not going to force anybody to come, but if you have a storytelling inkling, if you have always wondered, you know, what does it take to tell a Hollywood story, or if you're just interested in storytelling in general and want to hear it from the perspective of someone like me who's sort of done it at every level, somebody who's from Arizona, of course, and who weaves in parts of my life growing up in the Southwest. That's for the storytelling and screenwriting workshop. The storyboarding is a lot more specific, because that really is about drawing and about visualizing. But that is something, if anybody has ever been interested in a new way of thinking about planning or visualizing or thinking about a project, an endeavor, their own life, when you actually start putting it into visual terms, it really opens doors, and it is so incredibly empowering. And one of my favorite things is to see a director or just a human who's never done it before start to see the first few frames of what they're envisioning come to life on the page, even if it's with stick figures or even if it's with simple drawings. Just the power that they feel and the confidence that it brings is so gratifying. And that's definitely going to happen during the workshop.
Thank you for that. And finally, what are you looking forward to most about returning to the Sedona Film Festival?
Oh my gosh, there's so many things. I'm looking forward to just being in Sedona, because I love being in Sedona and getting to explore some of my favorite areas a little bit, but I'm really looking forward to the other films. You know, I want to see as many as possible. The Sedona Film Festival brings such an interesting, diverse group of filmmakers and films there that doesn't really happen anywhere else. The festival itself, I've been to lots and lots of film festivals, and I've learned that every film festival is an extension of the personality of the director of that film festival. And in this case, it's Patrick. And I think that Patrick has a very unique approach. He's very organized. He's very gracious. He's very polite. He's just a really hard worker. So I'm really excited to see what kind of film festival he has manifested based on that theory.
Yeah, well, for 22 years, he keeps manifesting better and better. Like you, I have great admiration for Patrick. So, anyway, thank you so much for your time, Jim, and look forward to seeing you at the festival.
Thank you, Susan. It was really fun talking to you, and I can't wait to see you. It's just coming up in just over a week.
Yep. So, again, thank you, and look forward to seeing you very, very soon.
Fantastic. See you there.